Welcome to Comics Experiment, the show right here at Comic Story, and that we air every Saturday, also put up on SoundCloud and iTunes and all the various spots it can go up. It airs live at twitch.tv/eligiblemonster every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and it also goes up on our patreon.com/comicstory, where if you want to support us just a little bit more, for only $1, you get access to this, Conspiracy Cast, CTV, Three Beers and a Topic, and all the other projects that we put up on that Patreon. Hello, my name is Benny, I'm also known as the Comic Story, and I am super sick. I went to Florida, got so sick that I was bedridden for a week, lost my voice, and it's been slowly coming back. I am perfectly fine now, it just gets strained. That's it. I'm not ill, anything.
I'm on the mend.
So, my guest today is Sal. Sal, who are you?
Well, as you said so succinctly, I am Sal, and I'm from a YouTube channel known as Comic Pop, where we talk about comics all day long. So, if you want to watch those, you're welcome to join me.
Basically, if you like this show, you're going to like their channel.
Bingo.
So, it's probably the best show to give you promotion on.
I agree, because we do very similar stuff, but very different.
Yeah.
Similar, but different.
Yeah, you have your own style to it.
Exactly.
And Sal, I mean, with your own style, do you ever just get tired and need to relax, maybe meditate?
Oh, definitely. Sometimes, you know, talking comics, it takes a lot out of you.
Well, you know what? Today, we have a sponsor. Our sponsor is Calm, a great app that will help you out with meditation, sleeping, just kind of help you relax. I actually do use it myself, and that's why I'm promoting it here. But I'll tell you a little bit more about that in today's episode.
Great.
It's our sponsor.
I know.
If you want to sleep more, I can help you out.
Okay.
Yeah, because I text you at like 2 a.m. your time, and you respond, so I'm assuming
it's
you're
true,
awake.
I do. That's the life of the YouTuber, man. Like, we're up. I'm usually either cutting or reading.
I'll just be like, man, there's always Sal's awake. Hey, man, how you doing? I'm good. Why are you texting me?
Good, what's up?
So, all right. Sal. Today, we're going to be discussing Avengers.
Yeah.
Anybody who's been watching the Comics Experiment for a while knows we like to theory craft. So today, we're going to talk about Captain Marvel being the supposed most powerful and why we agree with that.
Yeah.
Even if Kevin Feige didn't say it. And we are also going to be discussing a theory. What if all of the Avengers die in Endgame? What would happen to the MCU?
Yeah.
And if we have time, we'll discuss what happens the Avengers dying in the comic book universe.
Mm.
Current roster.
Yeah. Right, we're not going to do Avengers forever. Every roster that ever existed.
So what happens if this obscure roster dies?
Yeah, what if the swordsman doesn't make it?
Okay, so Kevin Feige came out and said that, I love everyone's, so the exact quote was, everyone likes to freak out, Kevin Feige says she's the most powerful in the universe.
Yeah. No,
the exact quote was something along the lines of, her powers will change the MCU forever.
Yes.
Now, we were talking about this yesterday, and I thought it'd be a great topic to open up our podcast with today.
Totally.
100% true. Why don't you kick off? What were you saying about it?
Oh, we were talking about how she's one of the few actually superpowered Avengers / members of the MCU. Most of the members of the MCU on the Avengers, they are regular folk with suits that give them powers, or drugs that give them powers, but it's like only a little bit. You know, like Captain America can kind of pull a helicopter a little closer.
Right, like that. I think that was, in movie terms, I think that was the biggest feat of strength he ever did.
Definitely.
Off the top of my head that I can think of was holding that helicopter in place.
It was pretty dope, by the way. Great. But still,
an amazing scene.
Yeah.
But
that's
Iron
kind of
Man
the
is a guy with a suit.
Yep. Hawkeye shoots arrows. Black Widow shoots guns. The only other superpowered member of the Avengers, if we're not talking about like dubbed Avengers during a crisis situation like Spider-Man, Hulk.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about. So a lot of people don't realize this about the Hulk. The Hulk, when he was first introduced and was originally on the Avengers, is not what everyone thinks the Hulk was. He was a slightly stronger guy.
Right.
Over time, the Hulk was decided to be boring. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde was a strong, dumb, green guy.
Yeah.
That's what he was. So they added the concept to him that if he gets more angry, the stronger he's going to get.
Right.
As time went on, writers went crazy with that.
Yeah.
Like, because they didn't go that, it wasn't that insane early on.
He was just really strong. I mean, even when you were dealing with the Peter David era where he's like Doc Green, and he's like gigantic and he can bench press buildings.
He's still not.
He's not Superman. He can't knock the sun out of orbit. You know, like,
I mean, matter of fact, in the 90s, when he fought Superman won just straight up knocking
him
out.
Just a punch. Yeah.
So the concept that a lot of people like about the Hulk, and I do too, I'm a Hulk fan.
Yes.
The idea that he's just so angry that he breaks planets, that came around, I want to say, and this is where your knowledge maybe beat me on this one.
Okay.
But wasn't that more like Greg Pak, Planet Hulk, Worldbreaker Hulk?
No, I mean, like, here's the thing. Remember when Onslaught killed all the Avengers?
Yes.
But they were like, the only thing we can do is turn off Bruce Banner and sick the Hulk on him. Hulk cracks Onslaught's armor. That was pretty strong.
Okay.
His armor was, because Onslaught was seemingly indestructible. So in that regard, he was pretty strong. But like, Worldbreaker Hulk? Yeah, Greg Pak.
Because like, and I would say Worldbreaker's where he's really at like one of his peaks.
Absolutely.
When he takes, so in Worldbreaker, for those who don't know, he takes a step and creates an earthquake on the opposite seaboard.
That is, like, how does he even do anything then?
Yeah,
if he's going to crack the planet in half just by accident, then how can he
That's exactly what happened. He's like, I can't move.
Yeah.
Let me calm down.
Right. And that's cool, and I dig it. And, like, that all culminates, of course, in World War Hulk. He's like, I'll break the world if you don't stop me. Like,
yeah.
Cool.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that was probably the peak of what we've seen power-wise.
Yeah.
In normal continuity without some weird Infinity Gauntlet.
No, it's like he can punch Thanos.
Because that is in normal continuity.
Right.
That he can do that.
Yes, absolutely. But the relatable Hulk, the Hulk that you can tell stories day to day that aren't epic galaxy-spanning adventures, is he gets stronger than the average man. Maybe he's even the strongest superhero in the Marvel Universe. But what does that mean? It just means that he can punch really hard and break buildings.
Like, yeah.
And in the MCU, I think he's pretty much that level. He's
he
not
is. He's stronger. Like, there's always the contest of him or Thor being stronger.
Yeah.
But it's still a contest.
It's a contest.
And in Thor Ragnarok, Thor fought the Hulk.
Right.
And won.
Yeah, he did.
So
they're evenly matched at the very least.
This is the power levels we're talking about with the Hulk in the MCU. They did not turn him into Worldbreaker Hulk.
No.
We did not get a true Planet Hulk where he goes immensely powerful. Maybe that ability is still there.
Sure.
Maybe it's not.
I feel like they're not going to go in that direction.
They're not. I feel like a couple reasons. One, and this is the problem with Captain Marvel, we'll get to this.
Mm-hmm.
Worldbreaker Hulk could be too much for the MCU.
Big time.
Because if you compare it to the rest of the superheroes, we have Iron Man in a suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
He used Hulkbuster and that got tore apart.
Yep.
We have Steve Rogers can hold the helicopter.
Yep.
Winter Soldier has, as far as I know, no powers.
No powers at all. Well, he's got
a robot arm.
He's got the robot arm, and I feel like he might have some variant on a super soldier serum.
But, like the Russian version?
Right. Like, and I feel like there is nothing to back me up on that in the MCU, but like if they want to make him Captain America, for example, deal with him in the future.
I mean, I like Winter Soldier, but he's very sparse in the comics.
Yeah.
Sparse.
Fair enough.
I believe he's just trained by the Red Room.
Yeah.
And he's got a robotic arm.
Right.
And so he's basically Black Widow with a robotic arm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he does need to have, at the very least, like top level endurance, strength, and agility.
Yeah.
And some measure of healing factor. Otherwise, he can't go toe-to-toe with other characters like Iron Man and Hulk.
So I would give the MCU at least gave him a super soldier serum.
I mean,
isn't that part of the plot where like they can't recreate it?
They can't recreate it, but they always make variants. I mean, even in the MCU, they're saying that like the project that Banner was on that made him into the Hulk was a super soldier serum project. Blonsky? The Incredible Hulk movie, which nobody saw. That is a variant on the Super Soldier Serum as well. Like, they've been... They keep trying to make something.
Well, that's also in the comics, though, too.
It's true.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the Captain America stories. Mm-hmm. Captain America, for me, is just like Superman, where I don't normally like the solo stories. I like them on a team.
Right.
But whenever I've read a Captain America story, they're normally trying to find... It's another variation, Steve. We need to get you out there.
Right. It's either Hydra or another Super Soldier Serum. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
But, So, we got him. Vision is completely unexplained.
Vision is a mess. And the reason is because, for the most part, the Avengers are pretty relatable characters.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why I got into the Avengers. I got into them from the New Avengers, where it's a bunch of characters who are like kind of street level.
Yeah.
Once you bring in the living robot man, it gets a little dicey.
Even in the comics, he's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
Because like, at least in the movies, he's trying to be mortal and humane.
Right, he's Data.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, I appreciate it. I love Paul Bettany's portrayal of him. And in the comics, I understand his legacy. And he's really important and his connection to Wanda and all that stuff. Like, Vision is practically a founding member of the Avengers. Not officially a founding member, but he's definitely synonymous with the Avengers.
Right.
And I get that. But... He's an indestructible robot who can go invisible and intangible. Like, what is the limit of his power?
Well, and the MCU has done a very poor job of giving his limitations.
No.
Same thing with Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
We, like, comic book, we already don't know what her superpowers are. Yeah. But in the MCU, movie, they're like, we're just not going to explain it.
No, don't even bother. That's why when people are saying, like, I remember you mentioned, like, are they going to make her a mutant?
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, they're never even going to bother.
I don't see them explaining anything beyond a Vision or Scarlet Witch past this Endgame movie.
Right.
This is going to be pretty much where they end.
No, they're getting that show on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
Vision and Scarlet Witch, the show.
Well, and maybe we'll finally learn actually like their limitations and stuff. But no, as it stands right now, they aren't that powerful.
No.
Vision has eye beams and can float and pass through things, and that's it.
Yeah, Vision can hurt War Machine, and Scarlet Witch can make like blocks lift. I guess. I mean, she can't House of M the world.
Right.
So everybody is pretty nerfed.
Yeah, oh yeah. Doctor Strange is the next example.
Yes.
Because you would be like, oh, Doctor Strange in the comics is immensely powerful. He can remove anyone.
Yeah.
In the movies, he needs artifacts.
That's weak, by the way.
That's weak as hell.
I hate that.
That was the best way to nerf him, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Being like, you need these things. You need a sling ring to teleport.
Comics, I mean, the dude literally, it was in the Avengers run for the new Avengers leading up to Secret Wars, but he basically sold his soul and destroyed a planet.
Yeah. dude can do anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not dealing with a writer who knows how to deal with magic.
Because I like the writers that don't, because then it's like magic does everything.
Yeah, exactly. Doc Strange in the MCU, he could be the most powerful member of the Avengers.
Right.
Or at least the member of the MCU. Because we've never explored just how powerful he is.
We don't know what artifacts he has or what he's doing, but as far as it stands right now, he needs a sling ring.
Yep.
The cape is a living being.
But that's fair. For me...
And he has to do hand motions.
I'm hoping that they do... But when they evolve Doctor Strange into Doctor Strange 2 and more movies, they go, it turns out, like, if you're really powerful, you don't need any of those things.
Yeah, I'm hoping those two. So but Doctor Strange,
but right
once
now,
again...
He needs things.
You take away the sling ring and the robe, but he's kind of pointless.
He's kind of stuck.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I'm stuck in this foreign world.
Yeah, literally.
And he saw into the future using an Infinity Stone.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he was able to do it.
No. Nope.
He used an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's
one of the only characters who actually has, like, superpowers.
Yeah.
Straight up superpowers.
Because Falcon just has wings.
Yeah, Falcon's got robot wings. That's not anything. He's cool, though. I feel so bad for him. He's so great. Anthony Mackie, dude, loves being in these movies. That's what we need, more passion in these movies. But Spider-Man's his own thing. You know?
Like, yes, but his powers are not immense.
No.
He literally throws webbing and sticks to walls.
Right. I mean, but they are superpowers at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, everybody seemingly has something. Like Ant-Man, he doesn't talk to ants. He has a robot voice that talks to ants. He has a thing that he has to take. It's a magic science formula that he has to take to shrink and grow.
Yeah.
But it's all science-based. Spider-Man's like, I got bit by a spider, I guess. And I can stick to walls, and I have a telepathic sense of danger.
Yeah.
Like, he has all these specific superpowers, but even then, it only makes him on par with, like, Iron Man and characters who have these robots that can make them stronger.
So
with Captain Marvel.
Well, with the Hulk. No, we have one more, because we've already discussed the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
But the next one that we have to discuss for who's the most powerful in the MCU, Thanos.
Right. Well, Thanos is a whole different ball of wax because he's an alien.
Yeah.
So he's already super strong.
But I think MCU is going with bare bones Thanos from like his original incarnation.
Oh, yeah. No, where Spider-Man could beat Thanos.
Yeah.
Like he needs a helicopter to do it. Like, because if you got to Google the Thanos copter.
Look at the Thanos copter. This is an actual
real thing in continuity. It's not
from when Thanos first, like when he first got introduced, he was just strong and durable.
He was
stamina.
He was a dark side ripoff.
He was 100%.
And
there was no real power behind him.
Yeah.
The first time we saw Thanos do anything
was basically Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet. He got a gauntlet, which he uses.
Well, and the lead up to Infinity Gauntlet is when Starlin is like, Thanos is something to be feared.
Yeah.
Like, and he actually does have like inherent power. Now he doesn't shoot lasers from his eyes. He doesn't fly. He's above that. He's almost like alien Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Where he's like, no, your showy, obvious powers, they're beneath me. I'm Thanos. Like, which basically just means I'm really, really, really dense. Like, I'm really strong, and you can't punch me into submission.
I mean, I know it was a Bendis moment, but keep in mind, in current continuity,
yeah,
in Marvel, Bendis had Star-Lord knock out Thanos.
Yeah.
First off, he had Star-Lord go toe-to-toe with him with a power.
Yep.
And then they lost the power, and everyone went toe-to-toe with Thanos when he came to Earth, and they knocked him out.
I don't see how that's possible.
But no, I agree that it's not possible, but it does show you that Thanos, without having an Infinity Gauntlet, is not that strong.
I see.
Spider-Man could punch him out, and they let Star-Lord knock him out.
Right, right.
This is not, editorial did not come down and go, that wouldn't happen.
No, but I have some issues with that, but I do appreciate that, like, MCU
Thanos, personally, I think Drax could have done it, not Star-Lord.
Drax at least, well, we've seen what Drax could do to Thanos in Annihilation.
Literally, but Drax ripped out his heart.
Exactly.
Thanos is just standing there.
Boosh. He aliens him. Just goes right through his back, pulls out the heart. Ugh,
so everyone who's like,
Thanos is a god.
No, he's not.
No,
he's never been in the comics.
He's just really strong.
Yeah.
And that kind of also speaks to like how weak Hulk is in proportion, because Hulk could get trounced by Thanos.
Yeah.
So like that just shows you how strong Thanos is in the MCU. But Thanos actually is super powerful. He's strong. That's it. He's strong and he's
smart. And he gets power from the stones.
And the stones,
when he becomes a threat.
And he knows how to use them properly, which helps.
Yeah, that does. I don't understand where he understood that.
I mean, like, it's just, the fact is, like, he's kind of, like, brilliant. I think that's the idea. Like, his insanity makes him kind of, like, super intelligent and stuff. But that's not really a power.
Right.
In any event, Thanos is also super powerful. And
they brought up Thor, which we did mention before.
And Thor, same comics, deal with Hulk.
Comics and more recently, he's become unworthy and crazy and powerful.
Yeah.
But Thor, same thing as the Hulk. He is just a guy with a hammer. He has to fling the hammer to fly.
He can't even fly on his own.
Yeah, he can't fly on his own. He's super strong and has lightning powers. Yes, that is true.
Through the hammer.
He is strong. Ragnarok has made it.
Well, yes.
Ragnarok turned him into a warlock in Destiny.
Yeah, that's fine. By the way, totally cool. But in the comics and in the movies, he's just a dude.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
So Thor is strong, but once again, same thing as the Hulk, same thing as Thanos, all these kinds of things.
Like, neither Thor nor the Hulk in the MCU could take over the world.
Yes.
By themselves.
You know what could stop that world, though?
What's that?
A portal opening to discuss the call map.
Stress is something that affects most people in the world, including those of us at the Eligible Monster office. This can lead to feeling exhausted throughout the day, but then continues to affect us when we try to go to bed and find ourselves unable to sleep. Well, that's why we're partnering up with the Calm app. Calm is the number one app to help reduce anxiety and stress, as well as aid in a better night's rest. Calm provides a selection of guided meditation, as well as a new meditation each day. There are also sleep stories, which are essentially adult bedtime stories to help you relax and also provide some soothing music and sounds like the white noise of a rainstorm, if that's what you find helps you best. Right now, Comics Experiment listeners get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/RNBE. calm.com/RNBE. So head on over there and get unlimited access to all of Calm's content at calm.com/RNBE and start reducing that stress and get calm.
And the portal closes as the curtain moves behind me. Oh no, is Dad gonna get in without being on camera? Oh, he did, damn. All right.
He made it.
So that brings us to the obvious person.
Yes.
Captain Marvel.
Right, who has...
And for the record, don't let me forget, I want to discuss Century, Hyperion, all these characters.
Oh yeah, okay.
So, Captain Marvel, how could she be the most powerful and game-changing individual in the MCU?
Right.
My theory is that it's less that she's the most powerful, but more this has opened up the doors for the MCU to have crazy powers.
Right. Yeah, you're saying, like, I mean, and it makes sense, right? Because the MCU is built on the foundation of kind of realism.
Yeah, it is. It legit is.
Where Tony Stark builds this thing. It's Howard Hughes in a cool flight suit. I get it. And it's like, and it's relatable and people really got into it. And they did the same thing. Make Thor relatable. Make Captain America relatable. Make, you know, all these different characters.
Even the Guardians of the Galaxy, the people that they chose to be on this team, because people don't realize this, that team was not the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No,
Star-Lord is the only real consistent character that was a Guardian.
So Yondu was one of the original.
Yeah, Yondu was.
And so, you know, that tells
you
all
the ones that they
know.
Picked to be on the movie version and then become the new comic team were the relatable ones.
Right.
You know, the funny Drax.
Yeah, there's
Gamora dealing with her issues. Mm-hmm. All the very humanoid-looking characters.
Yeah, the tree.
The tree.
The raccoon. Like, there's a lot of relatable characters that are grounded in some reality. But Spider-Man's kind of, like I said, like one of the few where it's like, no, that's a superhero.
Yeah.
He has powers, and like if you can't really draw a clear line to how it makes sense that he has those powers. Captain Marvel, same deal. An explosion, She's got powers now. She can shoot lasers and
she's
fly.
She's Super Saiyan. Literally,
literally, yeah, everything. So, but that opens the door for you to be able to have more superheroes who are straight up superheroes.
Yeah,
well, who can
Spider-Man, fly. Spider-Man's not nerfed, but he's a very nerfed character in general. It's why he's so interesting.
He's a street level character. That's why people like him.
But they've nerfed Doctor Strange and they've nerfed the Hulk. Right. Both of those could have been potentially big, massive, overpowered characters.
Absolutely.
But Captain Marvel, they didn't nerf.
Well, and it's funny.
That's how she, for the record, that's how she is in the comics, guys.
Yeah,
she's OP as hell, no clear weakness.
Yeah.
Like, that is her.
Her weakness is basically her own self-confidence.
It is, because a lot of times it's her anxiety, and like that's what takes her down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, to introduce her, and to give her a villain such that it's a lot of people, it's a society, like, it's not, like, when you, if you made the Hulk way too powerful, he'd have to fight way too powerful villains.
Yeah.
And then you're getting away from the relatable part. Like, it's...
Look at the fight between the Hulk and the Abomination.
Right. Abomination is just another strong guy.
And it's just two guys slamming each other into a town, and that's all it was.
It's more or less, like, you could have actually made the same movie but better if you had done the Veronica Hulkbuster fight, but then.
Yeah. Going with your realism
same exact
and relating,
thing. Yeah.
That's why Hulk movies have been so kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Thor.
Yes.
Thor 1 was relatable because he came to Earth and we had Natalie
Fish out
Portman.
Of water. Yeah. And he's fighting that. And he's fighting something that's stronger than him.
Yeah.
It's not that he's fighting on something that's on par and you got like this big epic battle that's taking place in space and blasting lasers and stuff. No, he's fighting a big robot.
Yeah. And the second one, considered one of the worst movies in the MCU, Dark World, is completely out there, completely off, and it didn't work.
It didn't
work. People didn't like it.
Now, it didn't, and I don't think the fault was in the decision to use Malekith, nor was the problem with seeing all, like, other realms. The problem was just in the execution.
I don't even, in my opinion, this is entirely my opinion, I don't think the audience was ready.
I think you're right.
I think as the MCU has gone on, and the common complaint is that they are the same movie.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Right.
Same exact story.
Yeah. But people when they go off beaten path, people would punish them for it.
Right. And what I think it is they went the safe route of giving us all these realistic, nerf everyone down, make it all possible.
Yeah.
Thor 2 was like an attempt at making more crazy, crazy stuff.
Because it's like, well, wait a minute, Thor's a fantasy character. Let's set him in fantasy land. Like, let's do other things with Thor that's not directly related to Earth, although we still had to do the Earth stuff.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was some of the weakest stuff because, like, who cares? Like, Darcy and her boyfriend and the poles, the MacGuffin poles, like, what are you doing?
Well, that's like, what I'm saying. But Thor 2 came out, I think, at a bad time.
Yeah.
I think if Dark World had come out around Doctor Strange,
oh, yeah,
I think it would have been more accepted because I felt like we were leaning more towards
the fantasy.
The more unbelievable. Ant-Man was a great crack at that too. They still tried to ground on realism.
Big time.
But they're like, what if we make a guy that can get tiny?
Right.
What if we do Ant-Man?
Yeah, like straight up Ant-Man, which actually really worked and people embraced it.
Yeah.
So
Captain Marvel is opening up the doors to the insanely overpowered characters.
Yeah. Now, off the top of your head, are there any other characters that you could imagine that like we couldn't have had before Captain Marvel, but now we have them?
Sentry, Hyperion. The exact same character.
Right, yeah. Superman allegory is sure. But Sentry, yeah. Because Sentry is like an interesting character. You could do a whole movie about him.
Yep.
And because of his schizophrenia, you're not going to have a problem where you're going to get like a Brightburn or another movie or story in which like the evil Superman's going to take over the world.
Well, it's Hyperion.
Well, exactly. but you don't start with Hyperion.
Blue Marvel.
Blue Marvel. I love that idea.
Yeah.
We talked about this in the car. Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. Do him properly.
Because you've got Ghost Rider in the show, and
You get a Ghost Rider from Spirit of Vengeance levels of true. You've blacked out, and he's demolishing the Hulk.
Right.
Bear in mind, when Hulk came down as Worldbreaker Hulk, Ghost Rider beat him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
Johnny, Johnny Blaze blacked out, but...
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. But like, they did a really nice job with Reyes in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But, like, you could do a straight-up, like, really cool demons, Blackheart, you know, Ghost Rider, like, real stuff that people, people rejected those two movies. Nobody was ready for or interested in Ghost Rider movies.
Chad's like, Zarathos took over them. I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. Johnny Blaze blacked out.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny Blaze took a back seat.
And if you remember correctly, Doctor Strange was like, we took off to safety.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, that's dope.
Ghost Rider is just straight Ghost Rider. Yeah.
That's That's really cool, and I want that kind of thing where it's like, we're not afraid to mention Zarathos.
Yeah.
We're not afraid to reference Mephisto. You know, we're going to avoid the one more day thing, but I'm just saying, like, we're not afraid to reference the gods and the demons and the aliens. Like, I would love for the Watcher to show up. You know, things like real Kirby's Lee Marvel stuff, because I think we've been setting the stage for 10 years for us to get this, and Captain Marvel could have been the harbinger for, like, us being... She was the litmus test, really.
She legit was.
If people are willing to accept her like that...
Okay, so we discussed this. Yeah. Why Captain Marvel? Because that was always my question. Right. Why her? We have so many other females.
Yeah, why is she going to be able to change the MCU forever?
Right, no, not even that. Why is she, like, the big female hero that MCU wanted? There's nobody else.
Right.
Anybody you can think of that did not have the rights to.
Exactly. Like, yeah, Storm, sure. Of course, I agree. Yeah. Not there.
Rogue.
Nope. Can't
not
do
around.
It.
Jean Grey. Nope.
Hey, what about Sue Storm? Nope, can't have it.
Like, yeah.
Oh, look at
all
that.
All the people that would have made sense to be the female lead of the MCU...
Was a Fox character.
Was a Fox character. Or they've already used and put as a background character like idiots.
Yeah.
Black Widow and Scarlet Witch.
Exactly. Yeah. Where... The Black Widow movie is 8 years too late.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I'm still going to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now they cast David Harbour's going to be in it.
Oh, I didn't hear nothing about it.
Yeah, they just cast David Harbour, and apparently they're courting somebody else, some other great actor, to be in it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, you know, Stranger Things, David Harbour is going to be in Black Widow movie. I'm in.
Yeah.
But a Black Widow movie, where the hell was that 8 years ago?
No, and I agree. That should have been the first one.
Would have cost $6 million, would have made $200, and we would have, like, we would have more. I think that was the test. It could have been like, oh, look.
Everybody. Well, Captain Marvel was a test for a couple of reasons.
Yes.
One, they needed their Wonder Woman competitor.
Yeah.
Two, can female, because for the record, a lot of people don't realize this. It is a Hollywood, I want to say misconception or trope.
Yeah.
Any female-led superhero movie has tanked beyond, like, oh, that didn't do well. We're talking, like, tanked.
Tanked or never got off the ground.
Right.
These are legitimate movies that, like...
Supergirl's the best example. I think it made, like, $10 million to, like, $100 million
budget.
Are you
talking about that 80s one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but Joss Whedon wrote a Wonder Woman movie back in the day.
Yep.
They were like, no.
Every studio was scared to do it.
Yeah.
Because every time we did get one, it was a bad movie. And they didn't take it as that was a bad movie.
No, it was...
Supergirl, Catwoman.
Yeah, they said they were like... Hollywood was... Well, no, we didn't screw it up. It's just that no one was ready for a female superhero.
Exactly.
Movie. And it's like, no.
If what was it? Supergirl, Catwoman. There was a couple others.
There's Tank Girl.
Tank Girl.
Which is... I kind of dig.
Elektra.
Elektra? No. Like, oh, come on. Like, no one's trying here.
They weren't trying.
But you know what's funny?
But they use those as examples as to why a female movie wouldn't work.
But you know what's funny? They already have female superhero movies, and they did work. They just didn't call them that yet. Resident Evil is a female superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Alice,
we were talking about that yesterday.
Can
Alice
fly,
after-
shoot lasers, like, kill everything, break the planet in half. Alice can do anything.
We were talking about that yesterday, the Resident Evil franchise. We were like, when did Alice become a god? And
it's
Alice, like,
three.
No, two, she showed it. Three, she did it.
Yeah, yeah. Two, it's like, oh, she can jump off motorcycles through windows. But three, she can burn crows in the air with her mind.
And you gotta think, they did shows like Birds of Prey?
Birds of Prey? Oh, yeah, well, but again, like, we're talking about movies that were horrible or shows that, like, didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of succeeding.
Right, like, no one thought a Catwoman movie would succeed except WB.
Right, and it's like, and
they're like, let's do a Catwoman movie, but not do Catwoman and not do Batman and change the outfit and we'll get Halle
Berry. Everything that makes Catwoman appealing to anyone and then make that movie.
Yeah.
By the way, that Catwoman movie, that's been in development forever back when Tim Burton, Michelle Pfeiffer were going to make that movie.
That was the original plan with that one. That one's funny.
And that movie was ready to go. Like, that movie was like, we all would have gone to see that movie. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. The Michelle Pfeiffer
Pfeiffer, Tim Burton led Batman, not really in the movie, but Catwoman movie? That's awesome. I want to live in that world where, like, we get to see where I can just reach into, like, a portal opens and I can reach into it and pull out DVDs from alternate realities to see these movies that existed. Justice League Mortal, that kind of thing. But, like, yeah, Hollywood has always been operating under assumption that, like, female-led movies don't work.
But they're picking the stuff that nobody wants to see.
Or they're doing
it poorly, like Supergirl. Supergirl could have done well.
It could have done well if they'd given a crap, or they'd been like, it's almost like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, or they're doomed to fail from the start because they'd never give them the talent or the money or the effort that they require to be successful.
Yeah, Barb Wire is another one.
Barb Wire! Which, you know, I mean, like, if you ever read Barb Wire, it's pretty faithful. You know, it's just not fantastic.
Right.
Pam Anderson loves barbed wire. I think she.
But back to the reason. So we're getting. Please, yes. This is why the MCU didn't do a female-led movie. Like a lot of people are always like, "Oh my God, women just want to be represented." Well, they do.
They do. And Hollywood doesn't want to help.
Right. Hollywood's like, but you guys don't sell.
Well, Hollywood's like, we tried. Trust me. We tried. Okay.
We gave you Catwoman.
Have you seen Elektra? Have you seen Elektra? Please, ladies and gentlemen, we tried. It's you. It's your
fault. It's your fault. You didn't watch the movies.
Are you kidding me? What about Ghost in the Shell? Like, what about Aeon Flux?
Yeah.
Or Ultraviolet? You have paid significant money to make these movies. Where the hell was Black Widow? The number one highest grossing female actress in the universe at the time was a superhero named Black Widow, and you didn't make that movie, but they did make Ghost in the Shell. What? It's unbelievable. But that just demonstrates like a fundamental misunderstanding of what they have and what people want.
Yeah.
And so yes, it felt like, oh, they're really insisting on Captain Marvel. Like, oh, why are they throwing everything but the kitchen sink at Captain Marvel? Because
Wonder Woman proved it works.
Not only did Wonder Woman prove it works.
You get a good director. You get a good actress.
Yep.
And you get a good story.
Who'd have thought? That's like the recipe
for
anything.
It will succeed.
Yeah.
So basically, if you do what you do with every other good big blockbuster movie, we get a movie that you want to see.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel.
So Captain Marvel she is a game changer.
Yeah.
Look, she sold billion. I think it's over a billion now. I don't know.
It is. It did a billion. Yep.
Okay. It is another strong female. Now, for the record, I enjoyed Captain Marvel. Yeah. I do have my problems with it, but I can't think of a single MCU movie that I don't have problems with anyway.
Yeah, right.
There's no MCU movie other than Winter Soldier. But
right.
Winter Soldier is just perfect. I don't care what you say.
For me, it's Iron Man. I can't complain about anything about that movie. But that being said, like you said, Captain Marvel's a game changer because it introduces, number one, female...
Crazy powers,
female-led superhero movie that succeeds, which
is
the second
one.
Door.
Because here's the thing they don't realize. They're like, Wonder Woman did great, yes. But I guarantee you Hollywood's reaction was it a flop?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it a flop because it's Wonder Woman? Can we do it again?
Was it a fluke?
Yeah, floop.
Yes. Because it wasn't a flop. It made all the money.
But what I'm saying is was their reaction.
Right.
To
like, did it only work because it's the one female superhero everyone can name?
Yeah.
Can we do it again?
And so Captain Marvel proved if you just get a solid story, solid actress, a solid movie going, you're fine.
You could take a character that a lot of people just don't like and still make it work out fine.
Because nobody likes Captain Marvel.
Nobody likes Carol Danvers. Like, I mean, a lot of people do. I'm just saying, like, if you listen to the vocal minority of people, Carol Danvers is a universally reviled character.
Okay, for the record,
still made it work out.
For the record, on the Carol Danvers thing,
yeah,
she was a character we all loved.
Yes,
Kelly Thompson did a great job with her, turning her into a space Avenger.
Oh, I love Kelly Thompson's run. Yeah.
The problem is, after that, for 5 years, they gave her to Brian Michael Bendis, and he just made her a bad guy.
Well, Bendis doesn't, you know.
Everyone hated Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and she's a character. She's a complicated character, who's gone through a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
that makes her. Not Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, who else do we have?
And another thing, I wanted to sidebar about this because everyone likes to be like, well, Brie Larson didn't emote.
Oh, who cares about Brie Larson?
Now, well, for the record, I agree. But, I mean, she didn't. She had one emotion, cocky the whole time.
Right.
But that's also Captain Marvel.
That is Carol Danvers.
Like,
now.
Where's the anxiety?
You have two different versions of Carol Danvers. You have, like, the one who was beaten by life.
Yeah.
And who's gone through some major heavy stuff. And then you have super cocky, I'm the superhero.
I still stand by the same, I believe it was more script than Brie Larson.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Brie Larson doesn't win an Oscar because she can do one emotion.
No, exactly. she wasn't given the range that she required.
Like, yeah.
Well, because what is she going to do? She's a Kree warrior and then she's a superhero. Like, there's no in between. There's a couple of nice moments with her and the Rambos that I like, that are very, like, that are real and that makes her feel human. But then again, you know, now you can do your Storm movie. Now you can do your... Like your Brian Michael Bendis written Kitty Pryde movie that's never gonna get made.
Oh, I want that so bad.
You're never gonna get it.
I want it.
Well, I'm sorry. You can read the script, I'm sure, but like that's all you're gonna get.
So, back to the main topic: most powerful people in the MCU.
Yes.
That's why she's gonna change the landscape. She's gonna allow us to get Sentry and Hyperion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because
and she'll be able to get justice for people like Doctor Strange. Maybe Hulk can get big and strong again. Hey, how about more Asgardians?
Yeah.
You know, like you can really. Open up the MCU to the real comic stuff again.
Yeah, which is, I liked the MCU being grounded, but it just got repetitive.
Well, not only that, but like, you can only do that so many times before we gotta move to the next step. Like, what's the next step? And if you wanna do like your grounded stuff, there's plenty of street level superheroes that we can do movies about
yeah.
that don't star Captain America and Thor and Iron Man. Like, we could do some Daredevil movies. We could do some more real grounded...
We get Ben Affleck back?
Yeah, we got Ben. Yeah, why not? No, Charlie Cox all the way. But, like, we got Spider-Man. We're seeing a grounded street-level superhero in those Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
And we still get the high-flying superheroics. I don't know if Spider-Man would have, like, been as palatable in the MCU if they had him all at the start. You know? You have to ground it with
I think
stuff like
if they had Spider-Man in the
You wouldn't have this MCU.
The MCU would be a completely different landscape.
Yeah, but it wouldn't...
Because they wouldn't have to be safe with it.
Right, but maybe it wouldn't have been as successful because it wouldn't have appealed to as many people.
You're right.
Right?
And I agree with you on that.
Because Feige worked on all those other movies.
Yeah.
Like, Feige worked on X-Men and Spider-Man. Like,
did he?
Yeah, I think he was a producer on those movies.
Well, I mean...
It doesn't matter.
Very grounded to people, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor.
Yeah.
That did make it succeed because...
It appealed to more people.
It was... I've talked about this a while ago, like what made Nerds the way it is now.
Right.
With geekdom so big and so popular. And it was thanks to things like X-Men, Blade, and even Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Because it made geekdom more accessible to random people who are like, I've always been intrigued, but I don't want to be going into that.
But with properties like, with Blade, vampires. You're going to appeal to everybody who wants to see a vampire movie. But with X-Men... Everybody's read at least one X-Men book.
Right. And then when it came to Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, you're like, well, I mean, that's just a guy with super strength.
Right.
That's just a guy with a lot of technology.
Yeah. Iron Man only works because it's a solid movie that appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That works because of the charisma and the execution by Jon Favreau. You would not have had that if you were trying to, like, springboard a MCU off of the most popular characters. Like, if they had been like, okay, we have all the characters, we'll start with Spider-Man, we'll move on to the X-Men. Like, you can't build a universe out of that right off the bat. Not if you've just done it before.
Yeah.
And it still got away from you because Hollywood also, of course, would have responded in kind by them being like, you don't know what you're doing, we really know what we're doing, and they would have had their influence over it. It would have just been a carbon copy of what we've had over the last 25, 30 years of superhero movies.
A somewhat successful movie that made money,
yeah,
but
a moderately successful movie
not
that,
MCU levels.
Well, not to the point where it has become a film genre.
Yeah.
Because superhero movies went from, like, niche jokes to Happy Meal franchises to a genre. Superhero is a genre. People are like, oh, Superman Mark is going to burst. Oh, yeah, because people hate watching explosions and relatable characters. Right?
Transformers proves that wrong.
Transformers and Die Hard movies prove that wrong. Like, any movie with action in it and a relatable, charismatic hero, be it woman or man, is going to sell. And if you put a cape on them, all the better. Because, like, you know what? Now you can put it into the money-making machine. You can make toys, action figures, lunchboxes out of it. And it's almost more appealing than doing like a straight up like Lethal Weapon 6. Because I can't really make action figures out of Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could.
So, you know, I'm just
saying. I'd buy those.
You already can. I mean, the reality is NECA has those, I'm sure.
Wait,
but
I mean,
like, you.
Riggs and Murtaugh.
Action figure.
Action figure. It exists.
Of course it does.
It's a custom made.
Oh, it's custom.
Lethal Weapon.
I mean, the fact is, I can buy Alien Xenomorph action figures.
That's true. At
literally any GameStop or FYE.
This is true.
And those are R-rated franchises. Like, who are those for? They're for me. So, you know.
So that's where I think they're implying with the getting more profit from the MCU.
Yeah.
She's going to change the landscape because it's sold.
Right.
So now they're like, well.
Now we can do it.
Things were relatable before, but what if they were less relatable?
Well,
if Doctor Strange could blow up a whole planet?
Right, exactly.
What if the Hulk could get that strong?
Well, because we've already got you. Like, you like the Hulk already. So
let's
make him a little more powerful. Let's make him Doc Green.
I mean, they kind of did that with Thor.
Yeah.
They were like, Thor's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Now Thor's fantasy-based. Oh, that didn't sell. So let's make Thor the Lightning God.
Yeah, but he does...
Which he's never been in the comics.
Oh, no. But he also drinks brewskis and hangs out and wears hoodies. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds now.
I think that part is just Chris Hemsworth between takes and they're filming it.
Yeah, he's like, okay, well, whatever you need me today. We're shooting you right now, Chris. What?
All right, then, bring another.
Yeah. Crunch.
that's all
that's
it is.
The next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. It's for everybody who argues against the MCU at this point, where they're like, it's formulaic, it's boring, it's bland, it's repetitive.
Right.
This can only mean good things because you're going to get more comic book related stuff. Hopefully more different kinds of things you like. It actually is the best time for X-Men and Fantastic Four to come back.
I don't think they would have done as well if they came back 10 years ago.
No.
Well, we all like to be like, oh, why is Fox holding them? But if they had given it back, MCU would have jumped right in with the X-Men.
Easily. Oh, no. Because it's like, because it prints money. But like, now we can experience like X-Men as they are. Like real X-Men. Real like Wolverine in a suit. Real Cyclops being awesome. Like real uniforms in the Xavier Institute. The Fantastic Four can fight Dragon Man. Or Mole Man, or Galactus, and it'll work because we've already set the groundwork for these kinds of characters to show up.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel helped to pave that way, even though we've already got like stuff like Ragnarok and Guardians and like Infinity War. Captain Marvel's like, no, 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 but what if our hero also did that too?
Yeah.
It's not just all that over there. It's us too.
So everyone's like, he's been the God of Lightning, the God of Thunder. Yeah, okay, hold on. The God of Thunder, Thor, that can literally shoot it out of his hands, is not normal Thor.
No.
He doesn't do that normally. He gets the hammer. Hammer does all of it. Hammer summons the lightning. All that kind of stuff. Yes. The Thor that's in the movie, mm-hmm. where the lightning is within you, and you are a true God of Thunder, mm-hmm. is a no-go.
Yeah.
That is not in the comics.
No.
The Asgardians are treated as gods because they were worshipped when they were, like, it's been
they're
explained.
Old.
Yeah. That's literally, yeah, they're just an alien race.
Right.
They always have been in the MCU.
Yep.
They're not actually gods. The God of Thunder thing came from, he was helping the Vikings. They saw him use the hammer, call thunder.
They wrote it down, and it became a myth.
It became a myth.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that was how the MCU integrated the Asgardians and the gods into the Marvel comic book lore.
Yeah.
So what they did in the MCU, where he's like uber, uber powerful, that may have been in some individual storylines.
Right, but
maybe
not
God
Thor.
King Thor can do it.
Oh, yeah. That's almost certain. But like,
yeah, God King Thor could definitely do it.
Right, but the Thor you know, the Thor you've been reading about, he is like the God Thor.
Yeah.
And he only shoots lightning out of that hammer.
Yeah.
Like,
part of the whole plot of Unworthy Thor is that he couldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
Because he lost the hammer.
Right.
He's riding around in like a space-drawn sleigh with like weird reindeer. It was weird.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he got Thorgi the dog.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like he didn't gain any immense power. He's just
no,
like
it's
Thanos.
Not like Godin's like, now that you've lost your hammer, I'll make you the god of the lightning.
The term gods came out of them just Vikings and Norsemen just looking at them and going, we don't know what you are.
Yeah.
You must be a god. That's the plot behind that.
Right, exactly.
They're just aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just stronger aliens. I mean, like, if Thanos landed on Earth and started, like, tearing shit up, they would have called
him 1600s.
In the 1600s, they would have called him a god.
Yeah, exactly. So
there you go.
I just want to clarify because everyone's like, oh, he's been the God of Thunder for years. Like,
yeah, no, he is the God of Thunder.
That's his title.
That's his title.
Not actually what
he does. But he doesn't shoot lightning out of his face.
He doesn't look like a warlock from Destiny.
No. Yeah, but he does now.
He does now. Did they adapt him in the comics to do that yet?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for that.
I honestly haven't seen that, but I did drop Avengers after a while.
I've been reading Avengers, but I have not been reading Thor.
Oh, yeah.
I dropped Thor.
Mm.
So I don't
we'll
know if
see.
He can do
War
it now.
Of Realms. One kid just came out. We gotta see.
Apparently in War of Realms, I don't know how true this is, but apparently Storm's the new God of Thunder.
That's dope.
I don't know how true that is. Someone said it in one of the chats.
I love that idea.
So, and yeah, for the record, Storm is a god.
Yeah.
She was treated as a god in Africa.
Yeah, Storm isn't a god, but in Africa she was worshipped like unto one. Yep. So, yeah.
So, okay, we've now been going very long with our opening topic.
Uh-huh. What if they killed them all?
Let's just go. So what do you think would happen to the MCU
mm-hmm.
if everyone currently in the MCU actually died and stayed dead?
I mean, they'd have a lot of building to do. You know, you'd more or less do what they're doing now, where it's like, you establish the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, you just start building up new franchises, because like, we're already probably gonna lose a few of the main characters anyway. We're probably gonna like, and by the way, when I say lose, I mean like until they pay the money to have them show back up again. But like,
I love
Thor,
all this
Iron
Chris
Man,
Evans is leaving. Chris Evans is leaving. Yeah, you're right. Until they say, hey, we're gonna give you $30 million to make a cameo, and he'll be like,
yeah,
okay.
The three main leads are making $1 million an episode in Big Bang Theory. You think they're not going to just dig deep to pay Chris Evans like
$100 million for the episode?
Like, just to be in one movie? By the way, like, sure, he wants to make movies. He wants to direct. He can do that. You have time. You know how long it takes to make a movie? You know, go ahead, go direct. You know, we're going to be making Spider-Man 3. Go direct while that happens. Well, hey, how about this? Hey, Chris, why don't you direct the Hawkeye movie?
Yeah.
And how about this? You can be in it too, as Cap. Like,
look, you know, I'll tell you right now, if I was Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., I made all the money I made for these movies, like, yeah, I can move my career forward. Or just retire.
I mean, look at Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
He's out. Like, he's done. And he's still in Spider-Man. And he's like, why would I stop?
They keep paying me stupid amounts of money.
Like, his contract's up. He's on it. He doesn't have to be in any of these. He doesn't have to be in any of them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I didn't even
think about that. Like, no, I'll come back. You want Nick Fury, I'm in.
Yeah, he was in Captain Marvel and he's going to be in Spider-Man. Yeah. An almost identical kind of role, isn't he?
Yeah. You kidding me? Come on. So, yeah, if they kill them all, they're going to have to build up everything.
If they were to do it, this would be the best time because they do have the Fox properties now.
Right.
So if they did go in and go, Spider-Man's dead, Doctor Strange's dead, these are the last movies, Endgame wiped them all out, it's all prequels, we're done.
Yeah.
They could easily start over with the X-Men.
It would almost be like seeing what the MCU would have been like if they had all those properties together. Because they're literally only with the legacy of, like, the Avengers are dead, now what? Now come the Defenders and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Like, the Fantastic Four would be the new Avengers. I'm not saying they would be called the Avengers, but, like, they would treat the Fantastic Four as the Avengers property, I think. Because the Fantastic Four are, like, bright and colorful, and they have a big building, and they're all relatable characters. The X-Men should be, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy of the new MCU, if they're going to treat it like that. If they were to kill everybody. Because the Guardians are dead, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if they kill everybody, if everybody lost...
You could do the other Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
What were they promoting at the end of that? What were
they? Oh, yeah, the Ravagers. Yeah. I mean, like, hell, you could make a Guardians 4 or 3 with just that team, with
the
Stallone.
The Ravagers, yes.
And the
Stallone.
Ravagers. Oh, I want that movie anyway, because I think that's a fairly fun idea. But, like, but you treat it more or less, like, you treat the X-Men as the Guardians of the new universe, where it's like, those are the fun, plucky characters who do the off-the-wall stuff. You know, whereas the Fantastic Four do, like, the more grounded stuff. I don't know. Or you flip them. The X-Men are more grounded, the Fantastic Four are more plucky. Either way, those are the two franchises you go with.
Yeah.
And then you get the Defenders.
Plucky?
Back. Plucky. Don't call us plucky. We have no idea what that means. But, yeah. So, I mean, what about you? What do you think?
I think if everyone died, they would just go forward with the X-Men.
Yeah.
That would be the
end. You think that's it? Just X-Men? Just all
I think it would be. I think the next phase would basically be...
X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor.
I think it'd be X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, yes. But I think we'd get Wolverine movie.
Oh, yeah.
We would get a Kitty Pryde movie.
You would get, you'd get the Storm movie, the Wolverine movie.
You'd get all the mutants getting movies that are fun.
Wow.
We would even get, like, a Marrow movie. Well, you mean to tell me we got, like, a rip-off female Wolverine?
A little cheaper, I'm down.
We'll do Marrow and X-23.
Yeah. Hell, you know, we'll get the girl who played Negasonic Teenage Warhead. She'll play Marrow.
Yeah.
She got the pixie cut. Anyway. But, Deadpool!
Deadpool, I mean, Deadpool could support the whole next MCU.
Literally,
you just have Ryan Reynolds being, you just have another movie come out and just Ryan Reynolds jumps in. Hey, what's going on?
The MCU would stand for the Mutant Cinematic Universe. It would literally just be the X-Men and Deadpool, and that would be it.
Yeah.
And then, like, people would be like, when are we going to get Fantastic Four? And they're like, oh, you're going to see the Fantastic Four on Disney Plus. Because literally that franchise would print money with people who knew what they were doing.
I'm actually surprised because they're always like, well, Captain Marvel's going to be one of the faces of the MCU moving forward. So is Spider-Man, so is Doctor Strange. But they've said that, why have they not gone, so we own Deadpool now. Guess who you want to see more of?
Yeah. I that's the easiest, quickest thing to start doing right now is Deadpool. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah. I wonder if they are going to do X-Force.
Right?
That was the plan.
Yeah. And hey, there is even a whole New Mutants movie that was filmed and everything that we're never going to see.
I don't know. They're still promoting it.
Yeah. They.
We said that we would never see the Phoenix movie.
Oh,
I know. It's dropping June 6th.
I just saw a quote from the guys from Disney who are talking about the Fox properties they have. And they're like, we're making more Alien movies. And I'm like, oh my God. And then they said, and we are very proud to be releasing the final chapter of the last phase of the current incarnation of the X-Men. And that was Dark Phoenix.
Ah.
They didn't even reference that New Mutants movie.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that'll be like shuffled off to Hulu or Netflix or something.
The final chapter of the original X-Men.
Yeah, they're saying is Dark Phoenix. They're not even talking
about
it. Well,
I will say, we've been owed this Dark Phoenix movie since X-Men 3.
Yeah. Which is the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I.
No, that's interesting.
I'm excited.
That they've just come out and said...
Yeah, that Dark Phoenix is the last
one. For the record, the Aliens I knew was coming because I love the argument, and I've said this before. The people that are like, oh, it's
too R-rated.
It's such a waste that Disney would buy Fox just to get the X-Men.
Right. They didn't.
If you legit think that Disney bought Fox to get the X-Men, you don't know how math works. They spent $72 billion on Fox.
They bought all of Marvel for $4 billion.
Yeah.
Like, they could get X-Men back for five if they really wanted to. And then they still have another $65 million or billion dollars with a B to play with. They
but
did
no,
not buy
$72
Fox.
Billion. In order for it to be for the X-Men.
Right, they did not.
They would
that.
Have to make 72 movies. That
make a
broke
billion.
A billion dollars.
No, they'd have to make double. It'd have to be like...
No, no, this is the break-even.
Oh, just
this is the
break-even
on your purchase.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So let's not even assume that that would happen. Let's say they would all make lower. So we'll say they have to make 100 movies to get back to $72
billion. Right.
And let's do some simple math here. And let's say they make three of those a year. At so 100 divided by three, it would take 33 years.
Yes, for them to break even.
For them to break it, it's not even make profit.
No, just on the budget for the movie and also the merchant or the marketing, for them to make their money back on the.
I found that so funny. The people are like, oh, it's such a waste. We're never going to see all these Fox.
Like, what?
No. We are.
We are definitely going to see them.
You don't mean Fox was looking for money. You don't think that if Disney was like, look, we'll just give you $10 billion.
Yeah.
Just give us the X-Men.
Right.
And then Disney's like, we'll make our money back in 5 years.
Right.
And that would have been that.
Yeah, that's all. They would have done that. I mean, like, we know they can. And they didn't. Like, they could have fixed the Hulk situation by just throwing more money at Universal, but they didn't.
If they legit want, they just throw money, they would have fixed all these things.
Yeah. But but I'm excited.
It'd be interesting. I like how this is basically just the most powerful person in the MCU. That's the new title of the video.
Right. Yeah. She is.
Yeah.
But hopefully not the last.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching today's Comics Experiment with my guest, Sal. Where can they find you, Sal?
You can go to youtube.com/comicpop and see at least 3 to 5 different videos a week where we talk about comics and celebrate the industry. So check it out.
Yes. And don't forget, you can watch us live every Thursday at twitch.tv/eligiblemonster, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can go get it early at patreon.com/comicstorian. Both great ways to support us a little bit more if you want to do that. We really do appreciate it. We really do need it at times. Also, guys, don't forget about our sponsor today, the Calm app, to help you calm down when you're ranting about your nerd stuff. Meditate about it.
Right.
We'll see you guys next time right here. And don't forget to check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Patreon, Twitch.
Instagram.
YouTubes. Twitter.
We're everywhere.
We're actually doing Instagram Live and Twitter Live as behind the scenes of this stuff now.
Yeah.
So.
Watch it.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one. Meet us on Vine. Oh, shit.
There's no Vine.
Wait. TikTok. I'll make a TikTok.
Oh, no, you're not. TikTok? Oh, no.